the signs you are doing if God were not with him? Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. How can anyone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said, and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Once again, will you join me in prayer? God of amazing compassion, the one who loves each of us in our wayward ways, you bring to birth a pilgrim people and call us to be a blessing for ourselves and all of the world. We pray for grace to take your generous gift and to step with courage on this holy path, confident in the radiant life that is your plan for us, made known and given in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The phrase often goes, the Spirit moves where the Spirit wills. It's not necessarily a location or always an understanding of where that direction is because it's at the Spirit's will. In Scripture, in both our Old and New Testament, the same word in Hebrew and the same word in Greek is the word for wind and the word for Spirit. As the Spirit moves, as the Spirit wills. And much like we know, sometimes living on the side of a hill, there's a little bit of wind around here, a wind that moves us. In the very beginnings of our scriptures, the Spirit hovered over the waters, or in some ways it's translated that wind hovered over the waters, this thing that moves and gives life, hovered over the waters as things began to be created and formed and taken shape. Can't quite come back from a week away without just giving a little slice of our time in the mountains. And the picture for me is riding up a chairlift on Thursday morning with the wind blowing quite hard on one side of the mountain. And on those little, or those flat spaces, getting from run to run, are these kids with coats open wide and arms out and the wind blowing at them, and they're standing still as they're trying to get down a mountain. And you get to the other side of the mountain, kids getting pushed down, and adults, with the wind at their back, catching their coat like they are a big sail on Lake Superior, being thrown down the mountain. The wind moves us, and the Spirit moves where the Spirit wills. This morning's gospel lesson holds the most well-known verse in the Bible, especially as a memory verse if you didn't hold John 11:35, Jesus wept. You know, those only two words is really easy to memorize. But one that we hold dear to us. Martin Luther called this verse, John 3:16, the gospel in brief. Our Sunday school teachers said the same, and so we memorized it. What's unique within the Covenant Church, the Evangelical Covenant Church, is that this verse was alongside the phrase, which gets recited within our groups and within our history and within our story as a church and as a denomination, the phrase, "Where is it written?" This verse set apart a theology that gave a distinctive to our understanding of Christ's work for people in uniting and gathering all people back to God. We call this atonement, the work of Christ on the cross, and the story behind that. And the story goes within the Evangelical Covenant Church that early pastors were sitting out on the front porch drinking lemonade, and one pastor leaned over to the others as the sun is shining on their face, maybe that nice gentle breeze on their face as well. Isn't it great that God has been reconciled to us in the work of Jesus? Where then another pastor replied, "Where is that written?" Maybe you can catch the nuance in this. Isn't it great that a God has been reconciled, that God is the one that has been changed in the work of Jesus, so that we can then come towards God, because God has changed. Where God's wrath must have been appeased in a sacrifice of his son. But as this other pastor leaned in and said, "Where is it written?" leaned in even closer and said, "It is because of God's great love. Not because of God's wrath, but because of God's great love that he sent his son," as we read in John 3:16, "that all who believe will not perish but have eternal life." It is God who continues to open up who God is because of this deep and profound love and moves towards us. We've all heard this scripture before, and it's really easy, I might say, even within myself, to kind of gloss over it. It's something that we can easily recite and we can throw it out, but leaning into it, hearing the words once again, this deep love, for God so loved everything that he gave his son, that all who believe will not perish but have eternal life. This movement of God that loves so deeply comes here in the story between Nicodemus and Jesus. Now, Nicodemus, of course, we know is a Pharisee and was quite a well-known Pharisee, a Pharisee of Pharisees, the one that was just profound. He had a VIP corner spot at the local restaurant. He had a list of credentials as long as your arm. He had advanced theological degrees and honorary doctorates, had a monthly column in the Jerusalem Now magazine. You flip it open, there's his picture, Nicodemus. Everyone leans in to read it. So if you were walking past him on the sidewalk, you knew who Nicodemus was. But he also knew who he was. There's a reason why Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night in this story. His question had to be concealed. The wind has begun to blow in his own life. The Spirit is moving within him, and he is asking questions that he has not asked before. For a Pharisee to be caught in conversation with this new rabbi that's disturbing things on the scene, Jesus, and this was risky for Nicodemus to be moving in and having a conversation with him that was inquisitive, filled with curiosity and wonder, because he sees something in this new rabbi. I suspect that the social and political and religious prestige gained by Nicodemus over the years would be lost in an instant if someone overheard their conversation and reported it to that same magazine. As the people open it, his column is no longer there, and instead is a replacement column explaining why Nicodemus cannot be trusted again. Night provides the opportunity for questions to arise. when the day's dust and responsibilities settle. Maybe you've felt this before. The day's activities have been put to rest. Maybe our kids have gone to bed. Maybe we've had this moment where everything is just set off and we just take a few minutes on the day. And you start to see things in a new way. Maybe you have your own questions that come up. You have your own wonderings of how things work in the world. You begin to relax and your imagination and curiosity break in. I remember that as a kid. One of the things I loved when I moved downstairs in the house to my own room, everyone else was upstairs. I was king of the basement. Everything. The freezer was down there. There was another fridge right there. Everything was there. But as my mom would just come down maybe to throw some laundry in, I'd peek out my door, 12 years old. Hey, Mom, you want to talk? I'd never do that before, but all of a sudden I'm in this new space, this freedom within there, but also wanting to lean in because some things have changed. Even if in me at 12 years old, the Spirit is moving and asking me, inviting me to say, can we just sit for a moment? In the season of Lent, we reflect on our own mortality, that we are human, and amidst that, we are allowed to ask questions. We give space for that within ourselves. Am I headed in the right direction? Is what we are doing as a church something that brings life to the world around me, to the community that we live in? Or when our life is brought to places that are dark, too, that's when questions arise. When was the moment when you wondered more about your faith and less about the rules in it? These questions arise, these things come up. And it's when that we have those moments, sometimes at dark, sometimes in the night, when things slow down enough, we get to ask the question. And Nicodemus is swept up by what he's seeing and the signs and teachings of Jesus. So he comes to Jesus and he says, "Who are you? Because, tell me, because what I'm seeing and the things that you're doing and who I am kind of catching of who you are, this can only come from God. Something is blowing in the direction of Nicodemus. The Spirit is moving within him, and he's finding space to ask questions." I find this remarkable. Pharisees were a group with enormous political and social power that held a rather rigid allegiance to and defended the laws of Moses. And I think we can do this as a church as well. It's not just frown upon Pharisees, because the church itself likes to defend our own faith, and that's what Pharisees do. So we got to say, with a sense of respect, they're doing what they were told to do. They're defending their own faith. And we got to remember that as a church. They're not all bad. We just aren't allowing ourselves the openness and curiosity within our own faith to ask, but is there something else that the Spirit is doing? They were called Pharisees, meaning those who separated themselves from those who were considered heathen and from the forces and tendencies which constantly invaded the precedence of Judaism. From what we know about these two people, Jesus and Nicodemus, they seem like an unlikely pair having a conversation. And to simplify the conversation, Jesus says to Nicodemus, if you want eyes to see where God is moving, you must be born again. For us, common language, we use that, we throw it around. For hearing that the first time, the light bulb goes on. Things kind of go peculiar. You must be born again. Now, not having met Nicodemus, just having read about him, I'm not fully aware of his studies in medicine and biology that allowed him to wrap his mind around the question that would even baffle the finest at St. Luke's and St. Mary's about what it means to be born again. But I'm sure he had the birds and the bees talk growing up about what born meant, and being born again just really wasn't something that was conceivable. Jesus brings Nicodemus to a new reality that is not necessarily about the birds and the bees, but about a vision, about a way that is enlivened by who God is. You must be born from above. That same word means the same thing in the Greek language, born again and born from above. And Jesus is playing on these words that kind of catch his attention and saying, yes, there's a renewed sense within ourselves, but this new sense comes from above. You must be born in a new way. You must be born from above. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. There's something new happening in Jesus. There's something new taking place that's bringing a new direction for the world around. And we have to be born from above. Lent is a season where we remind ourselves that we are not in control. I hate to break it to you, but you're not in control. If we are looking for texts where Jesus reminds us that following this kingdom way is not something that we can control, this is it. In both our biblical languages, again, in Hebrew and Greek, the word for wind and the word for spirit are the same word, ruach. It kind of hits back here in Hebrew, pneuma in Greek, wind, spirit. Nicodemus would have heard that connection to one being born of the Spirit is one moved by the Spirit like leaves in the fall. Living alongside a lake, we know what it's like to have the wind blowing amongst us. Sometimes the wind is so nice and cool on a hot summer day that we just revel in it. And sometimes the wind comes so strong that we get the snowbanks in our driveway or the trees coming down. And it disrupts our lives heavily. Sometimes we're on a ski hill and the wind is helping us move down, and sometimes it's having us pause still right there in our tracks, maybe being attentive to what is right in our presence so we don't move on past too quickly. I wonder when the last time it was that you felt like a wind or like a leaf tumbling in the wind. So if we hear this morning about Nicodemus on being brought into this new way, on how his life is being changed, with even within the questions, he's given the space to do so, and Jesus welcomes that question. We also read this morning of another person, Abram. He's not quite Abraham yet. This is the days before Abraham was Abraham. This is when he was Abram. And Abram, as we know in the story, his father, Terah, at the end of Genesis 11, before what was read this morning, Terah leans over to his sons and says, we're going to move to the land of Canaan. And so they pick up everything that they have, their families, and they begin to move. And they don't quite make it all the way to Canaan. They make it to Hebron, or to Haran, and they get there, Hebron, and they get there, and they set up camp, and they just didn't quite get all the way to Canaan. But then the question comes as his father, Abram's father, Terah, dies at the ripe old age of 205. Go, says this voice. Just simply go. Go to this land that I will show you. I'm not telling you where exactly. You don't know quite yet. But I'm asking you to go. And in that story is God creating a people. But also within that story is, I would imagine, this word go and not knowing quite where yet. The Spirit moving where the Spirit wills, and you just follow where you're being led within that. That Abram also felt like a leaf tumbling in the wind. And he makes a few mistakes along the way. He doesn't quite do it all right. They show up in Egypt, and he tells, you know, Sarah, his wife, he says, this is my sister, and kind of puts them in a predicament that is not that great and risks their own lives. But soon God establishes a covenant and says, you will have as many descendants as the stars in the sky or the sand on the shore. And of course, the laughter comes, like, how can I? We're old. I can't have children anymore. But God changes their names, gives them a new identity, sets them out on a new path. Abram becomes Abraham, the father of many nations. Sarai becomes Sarah. And they're asked to be faithful all along, being blown away by the Spirit that is moving around them as they continue to move towards this new land. In the snapshot of Abraham's life, we get a good view of the roller coaster life of how the Spirit moves. Both the Jewish and Christian faith traditions hold Abraham as an example of faithfulness. We read it this morning in Romans. It wasn't without a great deal of risk to go when God said go, much like the great deal of risk for Nicodemus to meet with Jesus. Leaning in when the Spirit begins to move, putting us in spots where we just have to lean in on what God is doing, and it feels mighty risky. For Nicodemus, his name is on the line from Abraham. His family is now picking up from what they know and where they have set themselves as home and just said, we're going. It's a great deal of risk for us when we decide to pick up our cross daily and follow, knowing there will be times where we may end up tossed around like a leaf ourselves. The uncertainty for Abraham led to a group of people being gathered under a covenant promise that his descendants are as many as the stars, leaning in God's faithfulness, and it comes to fruition that the descendants are as many as the stars, saying yes to where God is moving you. And that uncertainty for Nicodemus led to the progression of subtly defending Jesus when the plot began to rise against him, and then led him helping bury Jesus at his death, seeing that this is the Christ. And though we know that the Spirit moves sometimes and we cannot fathom why, we are given the words Israel and the church has held with them to remind themselves of God's closeness. We sing this song beforehand, Jesus, walk with me when I'm in trouble. Jesus, walk with me when I need it. Jesus, walk with me. And we also hold this psalm next to us, Psalm 121, of knowing that amidst when the Spirit moves us into places that might be uncomfortable or new or fresh, because that is what the church has always been about, always enlivening itself, we're reminded of God's steadfast faithfulness. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And the promise that God's love is so great that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The God that never leaves you, that God's love is so great and big, even amidst the trials, even when the Spirit is moving you in a place that feels a little bit new and fresh and uncomfortable. First Covenant Church, may you set your sails to be caught by the Spirit. May we continue to move together in this kingdom way and kingdom living that Jesus has taught. Amen.